KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, presenting Decoding Da Vinci, a new immersive experience on the campus of UC San Diego, June 4th through July 12th. Tickets at artpower.ucsd.edu.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Friday, June 12th. Wetter and stormier weather could be coming. More on why next, but first, let's do the headlines. The operators of six short-term rentals agreed to shut them down as part of a settlement with the city of San Diego. The San Diego Union Tribune reports that the units were operating without permits in mid-city neighborhoods, including Normal Heights, North Park, Barrio Logan, and City Heights. Now, all six of the properties can no longer be rented on a short-term basis and must be removed from all vacation rental platforms. The UT says they also cannot apply for licenses until 2028. A city spokesperson told the UT that since enforcement first began, more than 16,000 short-term rentals have been removed. $46 million in voter-approved funding is going towards helping in the fight against Tijuana River pollution. Governor Gavin Newsom announced the funding yesterday. County Supervisor Paloma Aguirre issued a statement in response, saying she appreciates the governor's attention to addressing the crisis and said the priority is getting the funding to the Tijuana River Valley quickly. According to the International Boundary and Water Commission, since 2018, more than 100 billion gallons of raw sewage, chemicals, and trash have poured into the river. A main caveat of the news is that the funding will be made available on a grant-by-grant basis for projects that reduce bacteria or trash and address public health-related issues. The Nat is giving the age-old saying of one person's trash is another person's treasure a real-life application. The museum says that visitors can do just that at their Washed Ashore, Art to Save the Sea exhibition. The exhibition takes garbage and debris from the ocean and transformed it into artistic sculptures. The Nat says that more than 25 sculptures of marine creatures have been constructed from plastic waste collected along our coastlines. Visitors will see jellyfish, a crab, a whale rib cage, eel, and more, all made from upcycled items like bottle caps, flip-flops, lighters, and even toothbrushes. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by San Diego Metropolitan Transit System. MTS is asking for community input on what transit projects matter most to our region. A new trolley to the airport, faster connections to job centers, or maybe low fares for seniors. Participate at sdmts.com/ontrack.
You're going to be hearing a lot more about El Niño in the coming months. That's because forecasters announced this week it's here. Environment reporter Tammy Merga says meteorologists predict very strong conditions later this year.
In California, that could mean wetter and stormier weather. Ariel Cohen is with the National Weather Service.
We have, at this time, El Niño conditions already present at this point and expected to strengthen across the Northern Hemisphere into the winter time.
He says strong El Niño events typically bring warmer ocean temperatures and higher than average rain to Southern California. Take the one from 1982 to 1983. Colossal waves severely damaged the Scripps Pier.
There can be flooding and these large coastal impacts.
That's Daniel Kahan. He's a climate researcher at Scripps Institution of Oceanography.
It's not only high sea levels, but it's the wind wave field, these big swells that develop.
He says every El Niño is different. The one in 2015 brought drier than normal conditions to California. Tammy Merga, KPBS News.
San Diego Mayor Todd Gloria says he is signing the budget approved by the City Council. It fully funds the arts. But our latest edition of Why It Matters, Voice of San Diego's Scott Lewis, reports the funding source isn't sustainable.
The City Council found $6 million for the arts from an unexpected source. The 2020 ballot measure to expand the convention center downtown. It was called Measure C, and it raised taxes on hotel room stays for three purposes: to improve homeless services, fix roads, and expand the convention center. Voters approved it in 2020, but for years it was held up in court. Now, the city is not using the money for a new convention center expansion. It will, however, use some of it to pay for the last time it was expanded in 2001. The city still pays about $12 million a year on the debt it took out for that building. The ballot measure to expand the convention center again does say the money can be used for existing debt, and city attorneys decided it was legal to use it just to pay off old debt while not funding a new expansion. The debt from the 2001 expansion will be paid off, though, in 2028, so the city could only do this for one more year if they don't find a solution to arts funding soon. For Voice of San Diego, I'm Scott Lewis, and that's why it matters.
World Cup soccer is finally here. The first game between Mexico and South Africa kicked off yesterday in Mexico City. The United States plays their first game today. Reporter Jacob Ayer says watch party celebrations were held in San Diego to commemorate the tri-national tournament.
Mexican soccer fans from across the region, wearing green, white, and red, packed the Consulate General of Mexico in San Diego to cheer on their men's national soccer team in the first match of the 2026 FIFA World Cup. Magali Castañeda helped to open celebrations dancing Baile Folklórico. She said the World Cup provides a moment of relief from the ramped-up immigration enforcement tactics in the U.S.
It means a lot to me, you know, especially in tough times right now for the Mexican community, for the race and everyone. It is very nice and heartwarming to be able to celebrate, express myself through my culture here, and being able to start the World Cup here.
Mexico beat South Africa 2-0. Their next game is June 18th against South Korea. Jacob Ayer, KPBS News.
Some Padres fans clocked in from Petco Park on Wednesday, attempting to work remotely during the baseball game. Arts reporter Julia Dixon Evans checked in with fans as they worked.
Wednesday's Padres game against the Cincinnati Reds was a remote work Wednesday, a themed game inviting fans to take their laptops and workday to the ballpark.
I mean, just like work from home people, typically it seems like they're pretty lonely, you know?
Scotty Muirhead, known online as the remote worker guy, said he wants to build community and challenge traditional ideas about where work happens.
So it's like we're in the, you know, best city in America. I think as long as you're doing your job and you're getting the work done, then it shouldn't matter where you're doing it from. I mean, that's my philosophy.
As the Padres players labored on the field to a 5-4 win, fans in the stands sent emails, closed deals, and even worked on cancer research.
We are designing a couple of new phase 2 trials. These are early drug development trials in cancer, so for prostate cancer in particular.
For some, it was a fresh approach to productivity.
I strongly support working remote. I think it gives you a peace of mind. And you're not in the office feeling pressure.
I'm surprised. I'm looking at some other people. They're pretty heads down and focused, so I have headphones on.
The Padres are considering more remote work Wednesdays in the future. But if you think your boss won't mind, bring your laptop to a game anytime. Julia Dixon Evans, KPBS News.
America's 250th birthday is being commemorated in a multitude of ways all across the country, including here in San Diego. For June's Museum of Month, reporter John Carroll visited the San Diego History Center, where a very special exhibit commemorating the anniversary is coming together.
For a moment as momentously historic as the 250th birthday of the United States, you would expect a place focused on history to do something special. For the San Diego History Center in the heart of Balboa Park, that means a unique look at how the last 250 years have unfolded here.
So this is quite an ambitious project for us and actually for any museum, because the concept is San Diego history 1776 to 2026 in 100 objects.
Dr. Tina Zarpour is the History Center's Vice President of Community Engagement, Collections, and Education. So how do you choose 100 objects to tell a 250-year-old story? Zarpour says that's where community engagement and education came together, engaging with students from UC San Diego and San Diego State to choose those 100 objects.
We brought them in and took them through a whole training regimen, basically a course, on how to understand objects, how to work with the public, how to write labels for objects, how to do object-based learning and interpretation.
The displays run the gamut, everything from the deadly serious old cannon that used to be at the Sarah Museum to a jack-in-the-box head. Remember those? When you used the drive-thru, you'd give your order by speaking to the clown head. You may know Jack in the Box was founded in San Diego, and it's still headquartered here. Just steps away from Jack's head, you find a voluminous book, a priceless artifact from a pivotal moment in San Diego history.
This wow. is the guest register from the 1915 Expo. And every single person that came signed their name in the book.
Moments in San Diego's architectural history are here. Intricate architectural models of the late San Diego, Jack Murphy, Qualcomm Stadium, and Horton Plaza. Dr. Zarpour then moved on to a display from just a few years ago.
This flag is one of our newer objects. It dates from 2019. And this flag has the distinction of being the first flag of the Kumeyaay Nation that was flown over the Presidio in Balboa Park.
Zarpour says it was important to the History Center to present as fulsome a picture as possible of our history. That includes dark moments. One display shows a couple of small pieces that tell of the KKK's presence here, an honorary ribbon, and a taillight cover with those infamous three letters. It was donated by the son of a Klan member.
He felt it was important to preserve this history in San Diego, and we feel it's important to interpret this history and, you know, not, you know, to show the good and the bad.
There are uniforms worn by members of the United States Navy, a nod to our military history, and an unassuming little Smith Corona typewriter that was used to draft the founding documents of the Women's Studies Department at San Diego State, the first of its kind in the nation.
What do you hope visitors take away when it's all done? They come, they see it, they walk out those doors. What do you hope they think or talk about?
First, that there is always a San Diego connection, right? Second, multiple narratives. Multiple stories, not the single narrative. Sometimes it's nostalgia, sometimes it's something completely new that they've never encountered before. And that's what we wanted to embrace, is really people's relationship with the past through objects and artifacts. We're used to telling histories through timelines, through events, through people, through the written word, but this is telling history through objects.
Objects that, with apologies to Ken Kramer, tell you a lot about San Diego. John Carroll, KPBS News.
America at 250 San Diego 1776 through 2026 opens June 18th and runs through July 31st at the San Diego History Center in Balboa Park. As we do for you each and every Friday, here are some weekend event ideas that you and yours could check out. For San Diegans looking to celebrate upcoming World Cup matches, SDFC, in collaboration with Fit Social, is hosting a 39-day soccer party steps away from Mission Beach. SDFC says that viewings for all of the World Cup matches are available. A majority of them are free, but all require online registration first. On Saturday, art lovers can check out the 2026 Summer Arts Festival. It's celebrating Liberty Station's Art District being named a California Cultural District. There, you can check out art installations, live music, a curated art market, workshops, and live painting demonstrations. And Sunday is Native American Heritage Day at the San Diego County Fair. From 11 a.m. until 8 at the Del Mar Arena, you can experience the richness that is indigenous culture. Attendees can enjoy the tradition of bird dancing and bird singing and more. Whatever you do this weekend, enjoy. That's it for the podcast today. This podcast is edited by Brooke Ruth and hosted and produced by me, Lawrence K. Jackson. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
K KPBS On Demand is supported by the National Conflict Resolution Center. Geopolitics, polarization, budget concerns, all topics that can cause tension in the workplace. NCRC can help seasoned and emerging leaders navigate polarizing issues with the Culture, Communication, and Conflict Certificate. More at ncrconline.com.